Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Our guest today on the program is a special friend, an amazing author, Christian apologist, has a new book out, Seeing God in the Supernatural. You're going to love it. His name, Lee Strobel. You're going to be fascinated by this discussion. Let's dive in. Lee, what an honor. Thank you for taking time out of that busy schedule of yours to join us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Well, I always love being with you, Tim, and love your audience, so I'm glad to do it.
Lee, I tell you, when you get up on social media, you canvas what's been happening in the news and more, you can't help but think, God's doing something. There is a spiritual surge that it seems to be exploding. And Lee, are you sensing the same thing?
Absolutely. There are signs of it all over. I have a friend, Shane Pruitt, who you may know.
Yes.
His ministry is to travel the country to speak to groups of young people, college students, high school students. And he said, I've seen more young people come to faith in Jesus Christ in the last 3 years than in the previous 18 years of ministry combined. Something is going on. God is doing something. And to see these worship songs on American Idol the other night on national television. Are you kidding me? Come, Jesus, come.
Yeah.
Really?
God's up to something. You bet it is. And Lee, hey, congrats on your new book, Seeing the Supernatural, Investigating Angels, Demons, Mystical Dreams, Near-Death Encounters, Other Mysteries of the Unseen World. Lee, I think that's really a timely book. I've loved going through it. I'm going to go into it deeper. You know why? Because I think it's a very important subject in this hour. When people begin to hunger for God, or you see this spiritual surge going on, it isn't that people won't believe, Lee, it's that they'll believe anything. And we've got to bring some light into this craziness that's going on too.
That's exactly right. 8 out of 10 Americans believe that there is something beyond what we can see, touch, and put in a test tube. So there's a general idea that, yes, there is something in a spiritual realm beyond our physical world, but people get caught up in all kinds of craziness, and they have no anchor. Well, we have an anchor. It's called the Bible. It's called Scripture. And so what I thought is I want to do this book in a way that'll be a bridge to people who are spiritually curious and who are looking for something to believe in that makes sense. I mean, my background in journalism is journalism and law, so I tend to be evidence-based, I tend to be fact-based, and so I'm looking for corroboration, I'm looking for evidence, I'm looking not just for stories you hear on the internet, but on documented cases that are published in peer-reviewed scientific journals. That's the kind of thing I'm after. And what did I find? I found that there is powerful and persuasive evidence, that there is something beyond the natural world.
Most of us, Lee, have heard about miraculous healings. Maybe we've had conversations with people who have been healed. We've often heard conversations around unexplained sightings or whatever, people talking about UFOs, all kinds of different things, you know.
Yeah.
Near-death experiences, people who've come near to death and maybe what they saw or witnessed. And is this stuff real? These extraordinary claims. And sifting your way through all this, Lee, you went on a journey. Again, you're fact finder. Let's dig and let's go after it. You also did some interviews here. That's a part of this book, which I love, by the way. I thought it brought a lot of strength to the book. But open us up, Lee, with this whole idea of just some of the stories that you came across, the basis of this journey you're taking us on.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most fascinating areas I got into, and this is kind of new, is called deathbed visions. This is different than near-death experiences. In a near-death experience, a person is clinically dead, no brain waves, no heartbeat, but they're going to come back to life. they're going to be revived ultimately. But in a deathbed vision, this is a vision people have just before they pass into the next world. And we see it in Scripture in Acts chapter 7, how Stephen, who's described as being full of the Holy Spirit, sees, just as he's being stoned to death, sees the heavens open up and sees the Father and the Son together. So there's a biblical precedent for this. But this is incredibly common. Tens of thousands of cases have been documented. In fact, a team of researchers looked at 3,000 cases, and this is their conclusion. They said, quote, "These experiences are definitely not hallucinations, fantasies, or memories caused by grief, nor are they projections of the subconscious mind or products of an overactive imagination." So now, I'm looking for corroboration. So let me tell you a story about a corroborated case. There's a woman named Doris. She's dying in a hospital in London. Very well documented case. She's on her deathbed. She has a pre-death vision, a deathbed vision. She sees the heavens open up. She sees angelic beings. She sees her father, who had died several years earlier, kind of welcoming her to this next realm. But then she gets this puzzled look on her face, and she says, "Wait a minute, what's Vida doing there? Why is Vida with my father? Why would Vida be there?" And then she died. Well, Vida was her sister, and she had died a couple of weeks earlier, but nobody had told Doris, because Doris was on the edge of death herself, and they didn't want to push her over by the shocking news that her sister had died. So nobody told Doris that her sister had died, and yet, in this deathbed vision, she sees her deceased sister in the world to come. That's the kind of corroboration I'm looking for. In another example, the dreams that are sweeping the Middle East of Muslims who are having dreams of Jesus, and it's been estimated that a third to a quarter of Muslims who are coming to faith in Christ have had a supernatural dream of Jesus encountering them. But here's the deal. I'm looking again for corroboration. These people are not going to sleep as a Muslim, having a dream about Jesus and waking up as a Christian. There is external corroboration. So I'll give you an example. There's a woman named Noor, a Muslim mother of eight in Cairo, and she has a Jesus dream. She says it's unlike any dream she's ever had, the most vivid experience she's ever had. She's walking with Jesus along a lakeshore, and she is overwhelmed by the beauty and the love of Jesus just emanating from him. And she says, "Jesus, why do you come to a poor mother of eight like me in Cairo? Why would you do that?" And Jesus said, "My friend will tell you about that tomorrow." And she said, "Who's your friend?" And he gestures to a man who'd been walking with them along the lakeshore, but she'd been so mesmerized by Jesus, she didn't notice this other guy. So she wakes up from this encounter. The next day, she goes to the crowded marketplace in Cairo, and she sees that man from her dream. And she goes up to him and says, "You're the one. You're the one." He said, "What are you talking about? Same glasses, same face, same clothes. You're the one." And he said, "Did you have a dream about Jesus last night?" And she said, "Yes." Well, it turned out he was an underground church planter. He wasn't planning to go to the crowded marketplace in Cairo on Friday afternoon. It's too chaotic, but he went that day because he felt like Jesus had an assignment for him. He encounters this woman, Noor, but here's the key. He pulls her aside, he opens the Bible, and he shares the gospel with her. That's how these dreams are unfolding in the Middle East. And to me, that's corroboration. This is not just something coming out of somebody's imagination. I'll give you another example. There's a guy we call Omar. Omar hated Jewish people. He grew up in a refugee camp, wanted to kill as many Jewish people as he could. And he was on his way to join Hamas, the terrorist organization. He's walking down the street, and he's confronted by this vision of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Omar, this is not the life I have for you. I want you to turn around. I want you to go home. This is not the life I have for you." Well, he's stunned by this vision. And so he turns around, he goes home. That afternoon, a family was moving into the apartment building where he lived, right across the hallway, and they're Christians. So he went over and introduced himself. And he said, "I had this encounter with Jesus. What does this mean?" And the guy opens up the Bible, shares the gospel with him. Omar not only becomes a Christian, today he's an underground church planter himself in the Middle East. So these stories, again, that's corroboration. And these stories are proliferating in the Middle East so much that you can pick up the Cairo newspaper and you'll see an ad that says, "Call this number. and will tell you about the man in white you met in your dream last night. I interviewed the world's leading expert on this. Tom Doyle has written a couple of books on it. And he said, Lee, I could pick up the phone right now. I could call Syria. I could call Iraq. I could call Iran. I'll give you five more stories today. This is sweeping the Middle East. And so that's another example of a peek into the supernatural that is corroborated and not just something that comes from an overactive imagination.
Lee, growing up as a boy, my father was a pastor. He was a man of great prayer. I know when many would call him when they were sick or going through hard times, he would go, and my dad would anoint with oil at times if he felt called by the Lord to do that, pray over them fervently, believing that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much and more, something calling on God to supernaturally intervene. And you begin to look at this supernatural world and think of the power and presence of God. You've heard conversations that our Lord works in mysterious ways. Lee, you take on a lot of subjects in this book. I want to start with the issue of miracles, because people pray for miracles. Does God, is he still in the miracle working business, I guess, Lee? And let's go down that road. And I want to take on a number of these topics today in the broadcast.
Sure. Yes, God is still in the miracle business today. And here I'm going for cases that are documented. So I'll give you an example. This is a case researched by four medical researchers, documented by medical evidence, and has been published as a case study in a peer-reviewed journal. It's a woman who was blind for a dozen years from an incurable condition. She went to a school for the blind. She learned to read Braille. She walked with a white cane, and she married a Baptist pastor. And so one night they're getting ready for bed. She's already in bed. He comes over and he begins to cry, and he puts his hand on her shoulder and he begins to pray. And he says, Lord, I know you can heal my wife. I know you can. And Lord, I pray you do it tonight. And with that, she opened her eyes to perfect vision. She said, I was blind when my husband prayed for me. I opened my eyes. I could see perfectly. She said, it's a miracle. And her vision has now remained intact for 47 years. So this is a well-researched case, published as a case study in a peer-reviewed medical journal. And I go, what do you do with that? What do you do? Unless you have a anti-supernatural presupposition that rules out the supernatural at the outset, I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion other than God intervened from the supernatural realm and healed that woman. And I have other accounts in the book as well as scientific studies done by a professor at Indiana University with a PhD from Harvard University, who went to Mozambique. And they conducted studies where they would go into the remote areas and said, bring us all your deaf and blind. And then they measured them scientifically. What is your level of vision or hearing? They then prayed for them in the name of Jesus Christ to be healed. And then they were immediately tested again. Is there any improvement? Is there any difference? Well, guess what? There was improvement in virtually every case. In fact, the average improvement in visual acuity was tenfold. There was a woman named Martine who, when they first encountered her, could not hear the equivalent of a jackhammer next door. After 10 minutes of prayer in the name of Jesus, she can now hear normal conversations. So then they said, we got to see if we can replicate this. So they went to Brazil, another place where the gospel is breaking in. And we see clusters of miracles where the gospel is breaking into a culture. And so they went to Brazil. They did the same test. They got the same results. Now, this is a rigorous scientific study that has been accepted and published in a secular, scientific, peer-reviewed medical journal, the Southern Medical Journal, a well-respected secular medical journal. And in my book, I interviewed the PhD from Harvard who conducted the study, and she said, something is going on. She said, this is not manipulation. It's not playing on people's emotions. It's not a televangelist trying to get people to send in their money. It's not, it's something is going on. And I think she's right. I think it's something supernatural.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Special guest today, you know his name, Lee Strobel, New York Times bestselling author, brand new book out called Seeing the Supernatural, Investigating Angels, Demons, Mystical Dreams, Near-Death Encounters. Lee, in the middle of it, as you were just talking about those miraculous moments, my father-in-law was at Duke University. He was going through chemo. Last days of his life, Lee, and he and my mother-in-law had an encounter where they really believed that an angel stepped in and intervened for them. This person came in the room, had conversation with them, literally was gone. And the medical staff came in and they asked who that person was, and no one could talk about what they had, what had happened, and they just couldn't believe. And for them, they believed it was a divine appointment where God sent an angel. You know, the scripture says that, and my dad was big on preaching about angels, Lee, that sometimes we entertain angels unaware, and that—
That's right.
Yeah,
talk That's to right. When Hebrews angels. Talks about that, Hebrews is anticipating that we would have at times encounters with the angelic world. Because why else would it say sometimes when you're providing hospitality, sometimes it's to an angelic being? So I tell you, Tim, I've been a Christian since November the 8th of 1981. I personally have never heard a sermon on the topic of angels. I've just never heard one. I think Christians... Some Christians kind of shy away from that, talking about that, because they want to be respected by their neighbors. And so they want their neighbors to know, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus and so forth. But, and I don't get into that weird stuff, you know, like angels and demons and stuff. But you know, Jesus performed miracles. He was an exorcist. He talked about angels. When he was being arrested, he said, could I not call upon my Father? And he would not send legions of angels to protect me if I wanted to do that. I mean, so now in my book, I talk about documented cases of angelic encounters. And one of them is documented actually by Billy Graham himself, involving a Scottish missionary named John G. Paton, P-A-T-O-N. He and his wife were missionaries to the New Hebrides Islands in the South Pacific. They went there to share the gospel. They lived in this little cottage. And the tribespeople didn't like the gospel. And so a mob of them came one night to burn down their house and kill them. So here they are in their house. They're praying, God, protect us. There's a mob forming around our house. We don't know what to do. Protect us. And by dawn, the mob dissipated. Well, a year later, he led the head of that tribe to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's having a conversation with me. He said, do you remember that night when y'all came to burn down our house and kill us? Why didn't you do it? And the guy said, well, who were all those men you had there? And he said, there were no men. There was just my wife and I. The guy said, no. Your house was surrounded by these huge muscular men in white garments with drawn swords. He said, there's no way we could have attacked your house that night. Well, what could that be except angels coming, sent by God for protection? And I'll tell you, Tim, I never used to do this. But as a result of the research for my book, I've changed the way I pray. Because I've come to realize, you know, we don't pray to angels. We don't worship angels. John made that mistake in Revelation where he fell down on his knees when he was encountered an angel. And the angel said, don't worship me. We'll only worship God. So we don't pray to angels because that could be a slippery slope to worshiping them. But we can certainly pray to God for the protection of angels. And just as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, I could do that if I wanted to. And in fact, in the Small Catechism, Martin Luther has a prayer that says, Father, send your holy angels to protect me from the evil one. And so it's totally legitimate to pray and ask God, send your angels to protect me and my family and my ministry. And so I've started to do that. I never used to do that because I never really delved into the angelic realm until I wrote this book. And I'm glad to do that. I think it's biblical. I think it makes sense. You know, there's that great story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where God opens the eyes of the servant of Elisha, who is afraid that the Syrian army is going to come kill them. And God opens the eyes of the servant to see the supernatural, to see the angels he had sent to protect them. And it deepened the faith and the courage of that servant of Elisha. And I think in the same way, it's deepened my faith and it's deepened my courage, having researched this area of the supernatural.
I remember having a conversation with the psychiatrist from UCLA. His name's Dan Siegel. He wrote the book on mind, and he's an interpersonal neuroscientist. He looks at the issue of relationships and its influence on this whole mind-brain-body relationship spiritual connection. And I asked him, I said, if you can have a relationship with God, could that be transformative? And his answer back to me was, Tim, absolutely. 100% yes. Give us a closing thought, your words to all of us as we consider this, seeing the supernatural.
Yeah, in my book, I interview Ron Rhodes, who's got a PhD and is a expert on the occult and cults and so forth. And he lays out a plan for how we can prepare ourselves, how we can put on the full armor of God. But if there's one thing that stands out, it is we must be anchored in Scripture. And our discernment must come from a thorough understanding of Scripture so that we don't get carried off by flights of fancy and conspiracy theories and things that really don't make sense.
Our special guest again today has been Lee Strobel, New York Times bestselling author. New book, Seeing the Supernatural, Investigating Angels, Demons, Mystical Dreams, Near-Death Encounters, and Other Mysteries of the Unseen World. What a gift to the church, Lee. Always great to see you, my friend. On behalf of my son, Zach, and our entire team here, we salute you. Pray God's protection, provision, power, especially in this season of your life. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute.
You'll never heal from what you constantly condemn. A woman once told me, I have to be hard on myself to stay motivated, but research shows the exact opposite. Dr. Kristen Neff found that having compassion on yourself instead of being critical increases motivation, emotional strength, and long-term behavior change. Romans 2 verse 4 says it's God's kindness that leads to repentance. You see, self-compassion isn't about lowering your standards. It's about raising your capacity to grow. You don't shame yourself into sanctification. You grow through grace. So today, write yourself a note like you would write a close friend. Name your struggle. Then speak to yourself with kindness and truth, because that is where transformation begins.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer?
Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.